Hi everyone. Welcome back to GG Talks, a podcast dedicated to all things drag, where in each episode we talk about real life experiences in the drag industry. I'm Tasha, one of the GG Talks team members, where we'll be talking about life doing drag behind closed doors.
Hi, Tasha. Thank you so much for having me today. I'm so excited to be able to talk to you about such an interesting and topic that's so close to my heart about drag and the queer scene. And I'm just ecstatic that you've had me on today. So thank you.
It's a pleasure to have you. Thanks for taking the time to talk to Gigi about your experiences doing drag.
Oh, that's no problem at all. I love talking anything about drag, from watching RuPaul's Drag Race to getting having like a little drag night with my friends and doing each other's makeup. I just love being able to express myself through the art form of drag and just take on a different persona.
So tell us a little bit about yourself, where you grew up, when you first got into doing drag, how old you were you at university doing these sorts of things?
So I've always been really interested in drag throughout my life. So I'm born and bred Manchester gal, up north. And me and my friends, like all I can remember is me and my friends used to go out when we were about 16 and be so immersed into the drag culture of Manchester, seeing these amazing queens, whether they're comedy queens, dancing queens. And I've got this really vivid memory of my first ever proper drag night was seeing Anaphylactic and Cheddar Gorgeous in Canal Street. They were like really good duo at the time, just do like an amazing performance. And I was so in awe with them at the time that I just knew that I wanted to do drag at some point in my life. But it's not until like later on that I've started becoming, that I've been given the opportunities, I guess, to get more involved in drag at university and having friends that would also join me in these drag nights and things like that.
That's incredible. We actually grew up in the same city, so I'm also from Manchester. So I can appreciate the late nights to Canal Street, staying up till 3 a.m. in my late teens to early 20s, and how great it was to feel involved in such a welcoming culture that has such great music. So living in Bristol, I know there's a huge LGBTQ community there. Do you think moving out there exposed you to more of this culture in comparison to living and going out in Manchester?
Yeah, definitely. Like, I think Manchester is an amazing place with like an amazing queer scene. However, Bristol is much more of like a queer community of what queer scene there is, because it's such like a small city. There's like fewer clubs, so it has more of a bit of a community vibe to it. And also, since I've been in Bristol, there's like many events that I've been to. There's one called People Like Us, which is like a lovely massive queer space full of people of all ages, sexes, genders, there's non-binary people, different races, religions, all in this like one big space, and there's just no judgment whatsoever. And so I feel like going to these events, I've met people, I've met other drag queens, and I've just got to know like community more and have more of like an appreciation for the art form of drag. And even like when getting to know these people on like a more personal level, I've then gone to visit them when they've done shows at drag bars or they've performed at Pride, which I just think is so amazing, and that we can just have this like lovely community through this art form.
I love that. I think it's really, really amazing. It's nice to get so involved with stuff like that and have the chance to bring your friends into such a fun environment. So let's talk about when you actually started to get into drag yourself. Was it something you tried as a one-off thing and then enjoyed it and did it again? Or did you know you wanted to create this specific persona, which was fun and exciting to share with friends from the comfort of your own home rather than going out in public to do it?
Yeah, so I've always been interested in drag from a young age, ever since seeing the Queens and Canal Street when I was younger. However, I don't feel like I fully felt comfortable or felt like I had the opportunity. And also, drag and like makeup and outfits are expensive. And I feel as I've got older, I've then been more confident to be able to go to the shop and like pick out drag outfits. I can remember the first time I actually got in drag was for my birthday a few years ago. My friend did my makeup, quite shocking to be fair. I think she did me wrong, did me dirty a bit. And yeah, it was my birthday, and I got about 15 friends all like come in drag. We all had like different names and different personas, and just being able, it was so lovely that everyone could just immerse themselves into it. I think my outfit was terrible at the time. I think I had like H&M tank top with like H&M boots and H&M pants, which is quite funny because the recent episode of RuPaul's Drag Race, one queen got absolutely slashed from RuPaul because she wore H&M. She was like, "No more fucking H&M." It was quite funny. But But yeah, so I did like drag a few times. I started doing it because one of my friends, when I first moved to Bristol, he moved to Japan and he didn't know what to do with all of his drag stuff. So he gave me a lot of his things. So then from this, I built more of a collection myself and bought more outfits, got interested in the makeup and going like to my friends and getting each other in drag and having a little bitch and just being able to like read each other, obviously with love. And so I've always been interested in the drag art form, but it's been quite a gradual process, I'd say.
That sounds really fun. I love that you and your friends could get really involved without the pressure of being on stage in front of a huge audience and it actually being a job, which can be quite stressful at times.
Yeah, definitely. I think because I've never worked in drag, I never seem to have them pressures. It's all just about fun at the end of the day. And I just love being able to take on a new persona. And it's kind of been like acting in a way. So you just take on a new persona and you can just say the horriblest, meanest things to your friends, but it's all kind of in jest and it's all in love. And yeah, it's just like such a beautiful art out of it.
That's great. It's great to see that you're embracing and supporting the culture. Can we talk a little bit about why you haven't gone out in public when you've dressed up in drag? Have you witnessed anything that would make you shy away from doing it yourself, or do you just prefer to do it at home?
Yeah, I think that's a really interesting question and one that I've asked myself a lot over the past few years. And the more I think about it, the more factorial I think the answer to the question is. So firstly, in my personal life and many other like queer people, we are so ingrained by society to keep being like gay, bi, trans, whatever, a secret throughout our whole life. And it takes us so long to be able to become comfortable with ourselves before that we can like show the world. And I think being in drag, in a way, being out in drag in public makes you, because I've not done it, but I've like walked my friends in drag, I've not probably gone out in drag, but it kind of makes you relive that fear of judgment a bit from the outside world. And I think that's quite a vulnerable feeling to have. I can think of like one instance, even like I obviously wasn't in drag, but it was at an OMG in Bristol that there was like a laddie lad there and he kept pushing into me. So I quite politely asked him if he could stop. And next minute he like got up in my face and then threw his drink at me and like tried to start on me. And I just remember feeling so vulnerable at the time because of just like the judgment I felt from him and just all these like, and this was meant to be in like a queer friendly space. And I think the other side to this is also the judgment from the queer community itself. So if I feel like if I went out in drag, I would be kind of judged from other drag queens or other people that, oh, your makeup's not good enough, or like you don't perform, you don't do this, and just that kind of judgment. And I think that's a problem that is ingrained in the queer community as well, which is kind of ironic because a society which is so marginalized against like the larger spectrum, it's so ironic how we can become so like self-hating and kind of judgmental within the community. So I think there's loads of issues that kind of need to be resolved, but that's my kind of feelings why I haven't gone out in drag yet, I guess.
Yeah, that makes sense. I'm really sorry to hear that you had to experience stuff like that. I can imagine that that was probably quite damaging to your self-esteem, and I can understand why it prevented you to want to explore that in public. I can imagine that it wasn't a nice thing to experience.
Yeah, totally. I think definitely that there is so much more positive that outweighs the bad, but those things do always leave a mark in your mind. And people just need to be a lot more accepting in the queer community and beyond, really, don't they? Just a lot more love to give about.
Yeah, that makes sense. I totally get that. So, do you think you'll ever go out in the future wearing drag? Do you think there's any event that would make you think you needed to or that you wanted to go out in drag?
Yeah, I definitely think so. I think now, which is a kind of weird part of like the pandemic's been horrendous, obviously, but it's kind of been like silver linings to it as well, because I think this year has been so testing and it's kind of just made me realize that we've only got one life, you may as well live it.
It's great to see that you make the effort to go out with your friends at festivals and stuff to support the culture through events, whilst also giving it a go at home. I'm sure it's really interesting to our viewers to hear not just how it's empowering for you, but why it's so fun.
Yeah, definitely. I think that's one of the main things that is so great about drag. It's just so fun and no one takes it too seriously. And we live in such a world that is far too serious sometimes. And that's just so much doom and gloom, especially over the last year with the pandemic. And in my personal life, I'm training to be a vet surgeon, which has its own challenges and days can be really hard. So sometimes at the weekend, there's nothing better than just going to your friends, throwing on a greasy wig, reading your friends to filth in a loving way, of course. to quote one of my friends at a drag night, we were in like a massive crowded room, and for the quiz, it was like a reading challenge, and you had to get send someone from your team member up and then read your whole other team. And quote from quote, my friend pointed to me at the back in the corner of the room and was like, "Oh, see Ben over there? That's what Dobby would look like if he had a growth spurt." But this is because my ears are quite a bit larger than my head. But it's all in a loving way at the end of the day, and that's what is so beautiful about drag and the queer community and the queer culture.
That's so great. I'm really glad there are places that make you feel comfortable enough to explore your interests out in the open. It's definitely about time that people have a safe place to express themselves. Do you think you'd ever get involved in performance drag?
Yeah, definitely. I think it's really good that we have these safe spaces where we can just like be comfortable and be ourselves. In terms of performance drag, it's not really something I've thought about as of yet, because I've not been doing drag for that long and I've never actually gone out of the house doing it. But potentially in the future, I don't know where my niche would lie. For example, like a lot of the queens I know are really good. Either they have really good looks, like the makeup's really good, they're really good dancers, which I'm not, so definitely wouldn't be a dancer. Or they're like comedy queens, or you get like cabaret queens, or there's like different areas. So I'm not sure where I would quite fit into that niche of drag. But I mean, yeah, drag's evolving and maybe there's like different areas. I mean, I watch a lot of RuPaul's Drag Race in America, the American one and the UK one. And when I've watched queer TV shows, like people all seem to have like a fully formed drag persona and niche that they come in with already. And to be fair, through watching these TV shows, I have learned a lot more about different styles and a bit about different like makeup looks and like looks in general.
I watch quite a bit of queer TV myself, and I've realized that in season 9 of RuPaul's Drag Race, the US version, that the crew themselves volunteered to be transformed into wearing drag, and they're all straight, but it made such a difference, and RuPaul really appreciated them putting themselves forward, as it was such a big step forward in terms of acceptance and drag becoming more mainstream and being accepted in the media. Do you think that these TV shows are a fair representation of performance drag? For example, in real life, how do you think it compares?
I think that's a really good point you made, firstly, that these TV shows, so they're so beneficial. For example, RuPaul's Drag Race USA came out, it must have been about 10 years ago, maybe a bit less than that now. And now it's voted like one of the highest in America, and it's won so many awards. In a country like America, where it's like instilled like homophobia, like backwards views in a lot of states, and this is like one of the most watched shows. It just shows how far we've come as a society, like across the world. And I think that's what's so beautiful about it, because a lot of the time I found it so educational learning about the queens, because half of the time they're out of drag and you hear about their stories. There's topics brought up that all people can relate, horrendous topics about people from like broken homes, money troubles, domestic abuse, violence and things like that. And then you see everyone's struggles and everyone like come together and be able to relate on the same. In the show, you then see them glamorous women. That's so amazing. And these people that don't necessarily have much confidence as men, you see the type of persona and the confidence that they then form through the form of drag, which I think is so beautiful. I think these shows are so amazing in that way, but also they might not be so representative of the drag completely, because we have to remember these shows are for the viewer at the end of the day, and they have become more materialized. And I think like fans of RuPaul would expect it kind of more, and people that necessarily should have stayed on being axed off the show just because of the views and to create that controversy. And so I don't think it's right in that aspect. A lot of the queens that are on the show, for example, Bianca or Alaska, Adore Delano, they're quite well-rounded. So they're like really beautiful. They've got the looks. They're often really good dancers. They're often really funny. And these are often queens that do really well off the show. However, I don't think this is representative of the like drag in real life. They're not amazing dancers, they're not amazing singers. Like if Juno Birch, who's like a funny queen, is so creative, But then you wouldn't expect her to then go and do like a death drop and splits at the end of the show, that she doesn't need to be good at dancing as well. It kind of allows queens to be rated. Like, are they good at everything? No, if not, then they're not good drag queens, which I don't think that's representative of drag queens in society. And you don't have to be good at everything, perform and kind of put on a show and be able to entertain your audience at the end of the day.
I'm sure our listeners would be interested to know, do you ever think you'll go out in the future wearing drag? Do you think there's anything that would make you more inclined to go and do it in public?
Definitely. I think I definitely will do it. Now I've got the supplies, I've got the makeup, I've got the clothes down. I think I will do it. I mentioned there was like a night I went to previously called People Like Us, and this is like one of the main spaces I think would be so supporting, accepting if I were to go in drag. So I definitely would do it. And I've got quite a lot of friends now that are also supporting, but also other friends that want to get into drag for the first time and do it. So I think having that close friendship group there would be really good. So yeah, I definitely do think I'm going to go out in drag. And I think in a way, I've kind of made it my mission over lockdown to be like, go live your life, go have fun, and life's too short really. So yeah, I think I definitely will.
I definitely resonate with that. Life is too short to be taking yourself too seriously. I know myself, I've been trying to get into more healthy things, doing a bit of yoga, watching TV I wouldn't usually watch, watching films that I used to appreciate more before lockdown. So it's great to hear that you're doing the same. Honestly, Ben, it's been great to talk to you today. It's really interesting to hear about your own experiences being involved in drag culture and why you've dressed up in drag for yourself.
Oh, well, you said you in Manchester, so we'll have to go out sometime and maybe I can get you in drag as well and we can go out in drag for the first time together, you know?
Yeah, that would be great. I'll make sure to hit you up on that one. Thank you so much, Ben, for joining us for this episode. Thank you everyone for listening to GG Talks, and stay tuned for more episodes to come. And if you haven't already, make sure to follow us at Instagram at our handle GG Magazine 01, where we'll be posting weekly updates on our magazine as well as details for our podcasts with some amazing photos from kings and queens that will be featured on our articles. Our website link is also available in our Instagram bio.